POIN, Portland.
CBS News. Another covert CIA operation is revealed. A partially successful attempt to raise a sunken Russian sub from the floor of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The price tag on the CIA sub-raising effort, codenamed Project Jennifer, was $350 million. Bits and pieces of the story began coming out last month following a safe cracking at the California offices of Summa Corporation, owned by multimillionaire Howard Hughes. It was with Hughes that the CIA contracted for construction of the experimental vessel Glomar Explorer, which went after the Soviet sub, 3 miles down and some 750 miles northwest of Hawaii. There are indications some papers referring to the CIA contract were stolen in that safe cracking. A Los Angeles County grand jury Tuesday night returned a secret indictment on the burglary. The Russian sub went down after a mysterious explosion in 1968. Soviet rescue ships tried to reach it but gave up. The CIA effort followed, resulting in the raising of part of the vessel last summer. But two-thirds of the sub broke off and fell back to the bottom. With it, several nuclear missiles and radio code books that the CIA really wanted. Critics say the price was too high for the possibility of getting outmoded missiles and code books and straining U.S.-Soviet detente. CIA Director Colby, who urged reporters to squelch the story, says it could have been the biggest intelligence coup in history. CBS News continues following this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Despite strong indications emergency military aid for Cambodia is dead in Congress, President Ford still is hoping for a breakthrough. And he's placing additional emphasis on aid to Vietnam, as we hear in this report from CBS News White House correspondent Phil Jones.
President Ford still strongly opposes any bill for aid to Cambodia that would include a June 30th cutoff date. And spokesman Ron Nesson indicated that the president is not interested in discussing compromise on the matter at this time. The Ford White House is trying to avoid any detailed comment on the deteriorating situation in South Vietnam. Nesson said Mr. Ford was viewing the South Vietnam matter with considerable concern. And in Nesson's view, the U.S. Congress is responsible for part of South Vietnam's problems. The White House argument, as stated by Nesson, is that the South Vietnamese are conserving fuel and ammunition because of a lack of assurance from the U.S. that they will get more when their present supplies run out. In Nesson's words, this is one reason the South Vietnamese are falling back. Says Nesson, the need in South Vietnam for the $300 million additional aid is urgent. They are short of supplies. It's up to Congress. Phil Jones, CBS News at the White House.
The Senate Tuesday night reached a tentative compromise on repeal of the oil depletion allowance. Independent oil companies would continue deducting it. Not the major oil producers. The oil depletion compromise means relatively speedy action can be expected on a major tax cut bill. Separate studies by two government departments say the United States is more vulnerable than ever to foreign oil embargoes. The findings were revealed after a meeting with President Ford by two congressmen. One, House Commerce Energy Subcommittee member Clarence Brown, explained to CBS News why planned development doesn't mean independence.
The Alaskan pipeline is still several years off. Offshore oil drilling isn't being done. The Atlantic Continental Shelf, where it's going to have to come from to support the American energy independence. Those things are still some time off. Just the idea that we want to do it doesn't put the oil in anybody's gas pump.
Congressman Clarence Brown, the Republican from Ohio. More news in a moment.
They said it couldn't be done by fleas and ticks or the month.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
Secretary of State Kissinger, back again in Jerusalem, reports he has made progress in his talks with Israeli leaders toward a new accord with Egypt in the Sinai Desert. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Oregon's largest employer, Tektronix Incorporated, has announced it will shut down for 3 weeks this spring and summer because of the recession. Dates for the shutdowns are the week of Memorial Day, May 26th, the weekend of July 7th to the 11th, following the 4th of July holiday, and also the August 25th to the 29th, the 5 days prior to Labor Day. About 8,000 employees are expected to be affected, most of them in plants at Beaverton. A spokesman said all operations will be closed except for the sales force. The firm said the shutdowns will avoid extra hardships of a layoff. Tektronix is the world's largest producers of oscilloscopes and has been one of the strong points of Oregon's economy. Trailblazer rookie center Bill Walton says he's convinced that the FBI is monitoring his telephone calls, either directly or indirectly. Walton was questioned by the FBI in San Francisco just last week in connection with a nationwide hunt for newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst. The former UCLA basketball star said, "All I know is that most everybody I have called in the past several weeks has been interviewed by the FBI within 10 hours after I made the call." Leaders of the United Auto Workers Union and the National Farmers Union said today that they will form an alliance to determine policy for food, employment, and resources. The announcement was made by Leonard Woodcock, president of the UAW, and Tony DeConte, president of the Farmers Union. Woodcock addresses the annual NFU convention in Portland tonight. Weather outlook, showers with periods of partial clearing through Thursday with a chance of little snow mixed in showers tomorrow night and Thursday. Cooler with the lows tonight near 40 degrees. Cooling to the mid-30s tomorrow night with the highs near 50 degrees. Chance of measurable rain 100% tonight and 80% chance of rain by tomorrow evening. Currently in the city, we have 43 degrees. And that's Radio 97 News to 1108. This is Leonard Pye reporting.
This radio mystery theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, and we're doing business as usual, featuring our full assortment of the mysterious and the bizarre. Quis custodiet ipsos custodis? Who shall guard the guards? Or, to take it a step higher, who shall judge the judges? This was a problem that plagued the ancient Romans, and obviously it remains with us to this very day. And actually, the act of judging is a highly hazardous affair, because the book warns us, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And so, between the necessity to judge and the admonition not to do it, we human beings are in a constant state of doubt, which is not the worst thing in the world.
Hold! Hold on there!
What you want?
What are you doing with that pistol?
That's hardly your affair, Mr. Lincoln.
A man prowling about at night holding a loaded pistol is certainly an object of curiosity.
Only to those that don't mind their own affairs.
I consider the safety of the community to be very much my affair, Mr. Barnes. You oblige me by handing over that pistol.
And you oblige me by going about your own business, Mr. Lincoln.
I'm afraid I'll have to take that pistol.
I advise you not to try it.
Hand it over, sir.
I warn you, not another step.
Our mystery drama, It's Murder, Mr. Lincoln, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Keir DeLay.
It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things, who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. In time, in ingredients, in anything. Today, the people who brew the king of beer still have that special pride. And every taste of Beechwood-aged Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking? Ah, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
When conditions are bad, we Americans always spend a great deal of energy not in finding a solution to the problem, but rather in deciding what to call it. Is it a depression? Is it a recession? Back in 1837, they called it a panic. So you see, we have made progress. 1837 was certainly a year to tighten one's belt. Definitely, it was not a favorable year to embark upon a new career. And a young man named Abraham Lincoln is discovering this the hard way. He has just settled in Springfield, Illinois, where he has opened a law office. Abe Lincoln sits in his law office and waits for clients. This afternoon, as usual, he is sitting and waiting. And although he is completely unaware of it, a case is being created for him just down the street in Fellman's Tavern.
Now, what I want to know is, what's the point in having Martin Van Buren sitting in the White House? Why, we might just as well have Andy Jackson.
Oh, well, Tom, Andy's old and sick. He's half dead.
Well, better an Andy Jackson who's half dead than a Martin Van Buren who's all alive. Yes, it's a good one, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
Huh? I have to remember that one.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. You want to hear a good one, sir? I was just saying this gentleman here, Mr. Stephen Barnes, I was saying, better a half-dead Jackson than an all-alive Van Buren. Isn't that what I said, Ephraim?
Something like that.
Are you Tom Feldman?
Yeah, in the flesh.
I'd like a room.
Cost you a dollar.
All right.
In advance. Oh, no man anything, as it says in Corinthians. Or is it, Acts?
Oh, here's your dollar.
Thank you. Drink?
No, not for me, thanks.
Well, comes with the price of the room.
I never drink while there's work to be done.
Huh? Well, what's your name, stranger? You know mine. I'm Tom Feldman, and this gentleman here is Ephraim Barnes. He runs a bank.
Ah, glad to meet you, Mr.
Jones? Franklin Jones.
What's your business, Mr. Jones? I assure you, the First National Farmers and Merchants Bank of Springfield is very much at your service.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Barnes. I'll keep that in mind. Could either of you gentlemen tell me where I might find a Mr. Cyrus Darrow?
Cy Darrow? He's got a farm. Big place it is, too. Just turn just north of here. Now you just follow the road right out of town.
May we inquire your business with Mr. Darrow, sir?
Well, that depends on Mr. Darrow.
Well, that's playing the cards close to the vest, huh? Bread eaten in secret is the sweetest, as it says in Proverbs. Or is that Leviticus?
There's nothing secret about my business with Mr. Darrow. He swindled me out of some money. Now he's either going to pay it back or... Well, I intend to blow his head off.
Now, Mr. Jones, there's no need for that. If you have proof, you can take him to court.
Well, I don't have proof, so I'll just have to do it my way. I've come here to get what's mine by rights. And I have the instrument with which to secure it.
Well, that's a wicked-looking weapon you got there, sir.
I fought in Florida in the Seminole War. This pistol was first and last fired in the service of my country. I earned the right to use it in my own behalf.
Now, sir, you cannot flout the law.
Yes, indeed. The law is sitting right here by your side. In me, you see the sheriff, and Mr. Barnes is the judge for this term.
Well, gentlemen, all I can say is that if a man don't get no justice, he will have to make his own. My room, sir?
Up the stairs. First door to your right. Supper's at 5:00.
That young fellow bears a bit of watching.
Yeah. I pity him if he goes up against old man Darrow. Cyrus will just chew him up and spit him out.
Wicked-looking pistol, that.
You know, I'm not a wagering man, Ephraim, but if I was, I'd lay my money on Cyrus Darrow. Poor fella. Seems kind of young to die after surviving an Indian war and all.
This time of night. Ah, what's your business with me? Go on home. Got a bone to pick with Cyrus Darrow? You come around in the daylight time, like honest, respectable folk. All right. Don't bust her down. I'm coming.
Oh, well, so it's you, eh?
Come whining around to see if I'll leave you off the hook, eh? Well, you can hang there and squirm till I'm good and ready to... You think that pistol can scare me, eh? You ain't man enough to... Come on, now. Hand it over before I make you chew it up. Oh, you yellow-bellied...
What? Who's there?
The sheriff? That's right. Open up in the name of the law.
All right. Oh, hi, Mr. Feldman. The tavern keeper.
No, sir, it's Mr. Feldman, the sheriff. You'll have to come along with me, son.
What for?
Mr. Jones, it looks like you did what you came here to do.
What's that?
Kill Cyrus Darrow?
But I didn't.
He's dead, son. Big hole in his forehead caused by the forcible entry of a pistol ball.
There must be some mistake.
No, sir. There's no mistake. This your pistol?
Of course it's my pistol.
It was found 50 yards away from Cyrus's house.
Well, you couldn't have found it 50 yards away because... it can't be my pistol. I remember I put it back in my bag.
Yes?
Yeah. Hey, it isn't here.
Of course not. How could it be in that bag and in my hand at one and the same time?
I didn't...
Mr. Jones, as sheriff of Springfield County, I hereby arrest you for the murder of Cyrus Darrow.
What?
And may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
What are you saying?
Well, that's right. I shouldn't say that just yet. After all, you ain't been tried. But you'll get a fair trial before they hang you.
I don't know what to say, Franklin. I don't know what to say.
I didn't kill him, Emily. I didn't.
Franklin, everyone says...
I don't care what everyone says.
You just got to believe in me.
Why did you have to come here with a pistol? Why did you have to threaten him in public? Why did
Why? 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 Because I'm stupid, that's why.
Oh, Franklin, I'm sorry.
I guess I really am in the soup this time.
This man, Cyrus Darrow, was very well liked. And the evidence against you is so strong.
Evidence? What evidence?
What evidence? Oh, Franklin, your threats to kill him, the pistol.
I swear to you, Em.
I believe you, darling. But there's going to be a trial.
But I'll make them believe me. I'll make everyone believe me.
You'll need a lawyer.
Yeah, well, I'll hire a lawyer.
And I...
Yeah, what is it, dear?
A lawyer.
Yeah, well, that's just what I said, my darling. I'll hire a lawyer.
Dear, there are no lawyers.
No lawyers here in Springfield, the state capital? Why, in a place like this, there are nothing but lawyers.
I've been asking around, and I've gotten answers. One fella says, sorry, ma'am, I just couldn't take on another case. And meanwhile, he's got his feet on the desk, and I can see the holes in his shoes. And then another fella says, I never did try a murder case.
What is it?
There isn't nobody in this town doing 15 cents worth of business. And they say, each of them say to me, sorry, Miss Jones, I just can't see my way clear.
Well, why won't they take my case?
Well, it...
Is it because they don't think they can win? Emily, that should make no difference. Law says every man's entitled to a lawyer.
I know. But what the law really means, every man's entitled to a lawyer provided he can get one.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you Judge Barnes?
Well, here in the bank this week, I'm Mr. Barnes. I don't start being Judge Barnes till next week. Now, whom do I have the pleasure of addressing?
My name is Jones. Emily Jones. Mrs. Franklin Jones.
Oh.
Judge, my husband can't find himself a lawyer.
Well, surely, Miss Barnes, in all of Springfield, there must be somebody who
don't mind ruining his reputation.
Now, Miss Barnes, lawyers don't see things that way at all.
Then how does it happen no lawyer's willing to defend my husband?
Well, it's a busy time.
How busy? Look at your bank. Ain't a soul in here except you and me.
Yeah, well,
Well, what, sir? People going broke left and right, nothing being brought in or sold, no contracts to draw up. What are all these lawyers doing?
Well, I'm sure if you look around...
I looked. I looked everywhere. And everybody's turned me down.
Everybody?
Everybody.
Have you spoken to a man named Lincoln? Abe Lincoln?
Abe Lincoln? No, the names ain't familiar.
Well, I should give Abe a try. He's the kind of lawyer to take any case he can get.
Well, I must say, Judge, that don't sound like a very enthusiastic recommendation.
Well, ma'am, it's the only recommendation I can give you.
Yes, ma'am?
Will you please tell Mr. Abe Lincoln I'm here?
There's no need to do that, ma'am. You've already done so.
You? You're Abe Lincoln?
Please, guilty, ma'am. Now, to whom do I have the pleasure of...
But you don't...
I know I don't look like a lawyer. Well, the fact is, I don't look very much of anything else either.
Well,
Won't you have a seat, ma'am? Now,
My name is Emily Jones. My husband, Franklin...
Were you named after Ben Franklin?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
The great man.
Yes, sir, he, my husband, is going to be tried for murder.
I know.
And I need a lawyer.
Well, you've come to the right place.
You mean you're willing to defend him?
I'm ready, ma'am.
Well, that may be, but... I've got to ask you about your qualifications. How many murder cases have you tried?
How many? To be exact, ma'am, none.
None?
Miss Jones, a fella has to start someplace.
Well, but not with my husband.
Well, I do have one qualification. Matter of fact, it could turn out to be the most important qualification of all.
What's that?
I'm the only lawyer in town willing to take the case.
Didn't Longfellow say, "Lives of great men all remind us we can make our own sublime, and departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time"? Yes, he did. However, what we should realize about the lives of great men is the fact that most of them weren't always great. Can you imagine being unhappy to have Abraham Lincoln as your lawyer? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities.
And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds.
AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city.
To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
His name is Franklin Jones. Right now, he is in the jailhouse in Springfield, Illinois, in the early autumn of the year 1837. He is accused of murder. His prospects are bleak. The betting is better than 10-1. He'll feel a rope around his neck before the month is out. The odds have not been lowered by the fact that his lawyer is a young man named Abe Lincoln.
And who was in the tavern when you came in?
Mr. Fellman, Mr. Barnes.
No one else?
No, no one else. I asked if they knew where I could find Mr. Cyrus Darrow, and they asked why, and I told them.
Couldn't you tell them that it was your own affair?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, you always have to be bragging about something, no matter how many times I tell you.
Please, Emily. Mr. Lincoln here ain't interested in our personal business.
Oh, but I am.
You are? Why?
Because you never can tell what might be important.
All that's important is to keep the rope away from Franklin's neck.
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to do, Miss Jones. Now, Frank, you came here night before last from Valley Junction.
That's right. We just started farming.
Miss Jones, I'd appreciate it if we'd let Frank answer.
Well, I can give you the facts fast and clear.
I know, ma'am, but, well, Frank's going to need practice. He'll be the one that has to answer at the trial. So, Frank, you came here the other night. You engaged a room. You stated your business to Mr. Fellman and to Mr. Barnes.
Like a fool.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And you showed them the pistol. Why?
Well, the pistol was a present to my dad from General William Henry Harrison. Dad was with Harrison at the Tippecanoe.
You see? He wanted to brag about it.
Mr. Fellman and Mr. Barnes, well, they weren't easy fellas to talk to. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Frank.
So I just went upstairs to my room and I went to bed, figuring I'd see Cyrus Darrow first thing in the morning.
And,
Well, the next thing I knew, there's a knock on the door, and it's the sheriff. I'm being arrested for murder.
And at no time during the night did you arise from your bed and go forth to Mr. Darrow's place and shoot him?
I did not shoot him. I was asleep in my room.
Well, we have to make that defense stand up.
You sound like you don't believe him.
Oh, I believe him. But I'm not the problem. We've got a judge and a jury to consider. Frank, the pistol. Where was it?
In the bag.
You placed it in the bag before he went to sleep?
Yes, sir.
Well, how did it get to where it was found? In the field? 50 yards from Mr. Darrow's door?
I don't know.
Well, the prosecution will say that you went there, shot Cy Darrow, fled from the scene, and in your guilty terror and confusion, you dropped the gun.
Well, I couldn't have dropped the gun when I wasn't even carrying it to start with. I wasn't there.
Well, then we must claim that someone came into this room while you were asleep and stole that pistol.
Yeah, well, that's the only way it could have happened.
You were conscious of no one?
Oh, I was asleep.
Tell me this. What was your business with Mr. Darrow?
Why do you want to know?
Frank?
Is that important?
It's the first question the prosecutor will ask. I should know.
All that was before he was killed.
Frank?
Well, I enlisted in 1829.
1830.
Oh, 18, yeah, that's right. And I served in Georgia and Florida. And when I wanted to marry Emily, well, you don't get married on sergeant's pay.
Well, not to me, you don't.
Anyway, there was this fella in the company. First platoon he was. A funny little fella. Fat and baldy, you know, but smart. He was a Frenchman or a German or something like that. He spoke funny. You know, the army's full of all kinds of foreigners. Well, they had to run here because they're having all kinds of revolutions in Europe.
Will you get to the point? Now, why should Mr. Lincoln care beans about them revolutions in Europe?
Yeah, well, his name was Fuller. And he knew all about plants and flowers, you know. And he said, Jonesy, some of these varieties could grow very well up north if...
Yeah? If what?
Yeah, well, I never did find out. You see, he and I were going into business, and we collected boxes and boxes of various seeds, and we was going to sell them to farmers up this way, where I was well known. That is, I knew some people.
And since Cyrus Darrow was one of the biggest farmers in this parts, well, we wrote to him, and he wrote back offering to buy a special kind of feed grass.
Yeah, we sent him $30 worth, and he never did pay up.
So we wrote and we asked him for our money.
And he sent back an answer saying he'd be hanged if he'd pay a cent for some sticky Georgia thistles.
What was that man talking about anyway?
Well, I don't know. I could have made a mistake and not cleaned out the seed like Fulda said you had to do. Well, he invited me to come up and look at his brand new thistle patch. And also give him the opportunity to wring my neck at one and the same time.
And I said, Frank, you go up there and you get your money. Well, did I know he was going to take a gun?
And at no time, then, did you visit Darrow's farm?
No, sir, he did not. He was nowhere near that place.
Frank?
No, sir.
As far as you know, it could, that is, the seed you sold him, could very well have been thistle, or burrs, or whatever.
Well, supposing they was. What does this have to do with the killing of Cyrus Darrow?
You weren't up there, Frank?
Well, I said I wasn't.
Well, I'd better be getting along.
Where are you off to?
I think I'll ride up to Darrow Farm.
Whatever for?
I might learn something.
What's to learn? A man's been murdered. We know that.
Well, I might find some evidence.
What kind?
I have no idea, but I have to look.
You mean you're going to look for something and you don't know what?
Yes, I suppose you could put it that way. What was that, Miss Jones?
Nothing. Just...
How are you, Tom?
Fine.
Now,
doing anything?
Well, I'm about to take a run up the Darrow Farm. Maybe some evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Evidence. Evidence of things not seen, as it says in Leviticus.
Hebrews.
Leaving soon?
Well, I'd like to get back before supper.
Hmm. You've taken the Jones case?
Yep. I was retained this morning.
Well, Abe, you think that's wise?
Wise? I'm a lawyer.
What do you have to think of your career? You know, you gotta lose that case. It's plain as a cabbage on a rose bush. The boy's guilty.
Isn't that why we're having a trial?
Oh, we're having a trial because the law says he's got to get one. But you know what the verdict's going to be.
Tom, I'm surprised at you.
No, Abe, you're the surprised one. Now, look, you can't win.
you lose, you look bad because you're a loser. And if by some miracle... Yeah, you could have a miracle, because as Milton says, the age of miracles is forever here.
That was Carlyle.
Carlyle. Well, anyhow, if by a miracle you win, well, folks will resent it.
Why?
Well, the boy's so obviously guilty, people want him to hang. Look, Abe, I'm thinking of your future.
My future?
Yeah, you could have a great future in politics. I've seen you operate. Why, it was you single-handed got the state capitol move up here from Vandalia.
Oh, no, that's not really true.
It is. Now, Abe, you could go far.
Oh, no, not me.
Now, why do you say no?
Well, I just don't look like a politician.
Well, there's no special way a politician's supposed to look.
Yeah, it isn't so. He's got to look kind of solidly dignified, like old Daniel Webster. Sharp and smart, like Clay or Calhoun or... Shrewd like Tom Benton, or even jolly like Steve Douglas, but he can't, well, he can't afford to be funny-looking like me.
Well, I wouldn't say he was all that funny-looking, eh?
I'm too tall, too thin, and I'm too bony and gawky.
But you got all the brains.
Brains alone was never enough.
Abe, is there some way you could get out of trying this case? Now, I mean it for your own good. Cy Darrow was well-liked.
I wouldn't get out even if I could, Tom.
Cy was very well-liked, and folks are mad to think about that.
Well, there's nothing to think about.
Well, just thought I'd paint your picture. After all, as William Shakespeare said, forewarned is forearmed.
No, that was Miguel Cervantes. Mr. Bennett?
What brings you out here, Abe?
Oh, I thought I'd come out here and look.
For what?
Oh, for anything I could find. I saw someone moving around in the house. Turns out to be you.
Well, I was his lawyer. I'm just getting his papers put together. Well, come in. Look around, if you like.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bennett.
Right here in the doorway is where he fell. I found the body, you know, in the morning. I'd come by to go over some contracts. There he was, dead.
You going through his papers?
I'm trying to.
Mm-hmm. Anything missing?
Well, Abe, either stuff is missing or he hid him away somewhere.
What do you mean?
I mean, he didn't tell his lawyer everything. No client ever does. You're going to find that out.
Well, what would seem to be missing?
I haven't had a chance to go through it all, but I know for a fact he's been lending out money all over town. The way things are with the banks and all, he was the only one with hard cash.
Yes, I heard. Well, you could say there were plenty of folks who might have had a motive, Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, I could say that, Abe. But I think your man's going to pay the bill.
But he told me he never even came up here.
Yeah, I know, Abe. When you've had as many clients as I have, you learn how easily they can lie to you.
Well, it's hard to believe this boy isn't telling me the truth.
That's what makes it so dang difficult. Maybe he thinks he's telling you the truth. Abe, you're in trouble on this case. Admit it.
I never denied it.
Let's step outside, Abe.
Before?
We might find a way out of this problem. Now, Abe, yeah, just off to your left, leading to the road, there's a full acre, and it's planted in what?
Now, hold on, Mr. Bennett, that's a wild field.
No, that's a planted field, Abe.
But who'd want to plant all those weeds and burrs and thistles?
They come from the seeds my client bought from your client.
That's hard to believe. Why?
Let's say your client's a sharper. Or he made an honest mistake. Don't matter. But he made my client mad. My old Cy was ready to kill that boy on sight. Get my point?
Mr. Bennett, I think I do.
Ah. Taking it straight from there. You begin to see a new line of approach in the case?
Mr. Bennett? Let me tell you, sir, I am eternally in your debt. To think, I had just considered this case was hopeless.
Abe, when everything looks hopeless, that's the time you really start to hope.
And, of course, that was a lesson that Abe Lincoln never forgot. Certainly in the years to come, he would be faced with more apparently hopeless situations than almost any other president. But our concern is with the case in hand. And what is the light that has suddenly dawned? Well, that will all be made visible when I return in just a few moments with Act 3.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free.
You feel like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk. Buick's sleek, low-slung 2+2 road machine. Its streamlined nose thrust rakishly ahead. Its spirited V6 engine supplying the motion. All of a sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk. Catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all.
I can't find a decent job. Now, I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Job for people, people for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
It is always surprising to consider that what we call psychology is a science of recent vintage. We speak so easily of things like the split personality, the other self, the protective falsehood, without realizing that these terms would be unintelligible to people who lived even 100 years ago. But although our forebears did not know these things intellectually, they could understand their implications. After all, Sigmund Freud was only 10 years old when Abe Lincoln died, yet Lincoln already sensed a great deal of what Freud was to discover.
No, Mr. Lincoln, he don't lie to me. That's one thing he don't do. He don't lie to me.
Emily, maybe he has no choice.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe he's afraid he'd lose you if you knew he was a murderer. What would you do if he confessed?
What would I do?
Would you leave him?
Well, I...
You see?
Oh, I'd raise up a storm, I guess. I'd holler and rip, but afterward, well, I'd stand by him.
Well, then you must convince him of that.
But will it save him?
At least it's a defense. I could plead it. This way, all I'm doing is begging the mercy of the court.
But will it work?
Self-defense always gives a man a chance.
How much of a chance?
Well, I'm a lawyer, Emily. I'm not a prophet, but... We can get witnesses to prove that Cy Darrow was furious with Franklin.
But why?
Because Franklin had sold him nothing but weeds.
How do you know?
I was up there, Emily. I saw them. A strange kind of growth for this part of the country. Brambles and burrs and weeds.
It really wasn't Frank's fault, Mr. Lincoln. He just doesn't know.
But Cyrus Darrow was boiling mad. Now, oddly enough, this could create some sympathy for Franklin.
How? They'll all think Frank was a swindler.
Well, maybe not a swindler, more of a sharper.
Oh, what's the difference?
Well, Emily, you have to know these old horse traders up here. They might even admire him.
Why?
Because he's done something nobody else was ever able to bring off.
What's that?
He got the better of Cy Darrow in the deal. He went up to see Cy to brazen it out, being careful, of course, to bring his pistol. The fact that the pistol was given to him by General Harrison won't hurt either.
Well, then, you think we've got a chance?
Yes, Emily, I would say, what with one thing and another, we've got a fighting chance.
No!
No? What do you mean, no?
You heard, Emily. I said no.
But Mr. Lincoln just explained.
I know what Mr. Lincoln just explained.
Don't you understand? If you don't plead self-defense, you're sure to hang.
Well, I ain't gonna do it.
Why?
I told you once. I told you 1,000 times. I wasn't there.
What, sir?
I didn't kill him.
I give up. What can you do with him, Mr. Lincoln?
Mr. Lincoln, would you want me to get up there on that stand and tell a lie?
Is it a lie, Franklin? You mean you didn't kill Cy Darrow in self-defense?
Huh. Here's a hole to be in. A man's wife won't believe him. His lawyer won't believe him.
Frank, we only...
Franklin, I can only plead the defense my client gives me. Since I wasn't at the scene of the crime when the murder took place, I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't know neither. I wasn't there myself. I was asleep in bed in my room at Fellman's Tavern.
But, Franklin, nobody's going to believe that.
Well, ain't that what I got a lawyer for, so we can make folks believe me? Or is this case too tough for you, Mr. Lincoln?
Well, it's tough enough.
Hey, did you find anything up there at Darrow's place?
How'd you know I was up there?
Well, look at your pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, them little burrs. Almost too small to see, unless you're looking for them. Yes, sir, you'll be picking them off your pants legs for weeks.
I thought I'd gotten rid of most of them.
No, sir, they're hidden where you can't even see them. And some of the seeds, why, they'll even germinate on the clothes, seems like. You better boil those pants.
Well, thank you.
I guess Darrow was right, Emily. We did sell him weeds. I didn't mean to, Mr. Lincoln. It's just that Corporal Fulda would have known what to do. He said you had to wash the seed in something called alkali. I don't even know what it is.
What are you going to do now, Mr. Lincoln?
Tell me, who else was in the tavern when you came in?
Well, I told you, just Mr. Fellman and Mr. Barnes.
Nobody else?
Oh, sir.
You positive?
I'll swear to it.
Well, do you know anyone in the town?
No, sir. Not a single solitary soul.
Why do you ask?
Well, Emily, it's about time I started asking questions.
But you've been asking questions all along.
No, not the right questions, and I haven't been asking the right people either.
Well, Abe, I can only tell you the boy insists on having a rope put around his neck.
Well, he refuses to plead self-defense.
In my opinion, he'd rather die having his wife think he's not a murderer.
I believe him.
It can be a dangerous business when you start believing clients.
It can even be a more dangerous business when you don't.
What can I do for you, Abe?
You've been through all the size papers yet?
All I was able to turn up.
Would either Tom Fellman or Ephraim Barnes have owed him money?
Well, now, Abe, this is a lawyer-client relationship. You asking me to break it?
Well, the client's dead, Mr. Bennett. And I'm not asking out of idle curiosity.
Yes, he did have a mortgage on Fellman's.
I thought Tom Fellman owned the place free and clear. It's been a moneymaker for years.
Don't you know there's been a panic on him? There ain't a nickel's worth of cash to be had.
Well, why would Tom Fellman go to Cy Darrow when he could get money at bank rates from his good friend Ephraim Barnes?
Banks don't have it either, Abe.
Did you find any papers for either Tom or Ephraim?
What are you trying to say, Abe?
I'm just asking, Mr. Bennett.
To answer your question, no. There was no papers for either one of them.
And yet, they both owed him money.
I'm reasonably sure of it, Abe.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mr. Bennett. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, Abe.
Afternoon, Abe.
Have a drink. How's the law business coming?
Slow.
Well, slow but sure moves mighty mountains. Aristotle.
Euripides.
Abe, I swear one day I'm going to catch you.
Gentlemen, we have some business to discuss.
I discuss business at my office only.
This is legal business, Ephraim.
Then I'd rather discuss it at your office.
It has to do with the upcoming trial of Franklin Jones.
In that case, I don't discuss it at all. I'm scheduled to be presiding judge, you know.
I don't think so, Ephraim.
Well, what you saying? You see the calendar.
I'm going to ask you to disqualify yourself, Ephraim.
What are you saying, Abe? Eve here's one of the finest...
Abe, don't you believe I'm a fair man?
It's nothing personal, Ephraim.
Well, then why...
To begin with, you're a material witness.
Who is?
You are. You and Tom here, you're the ones, the only ones who heard Tom ask for the whereabouts of Cy Darrow, and who heard Tom threaten to kill him.
Yeah, well,
you can't be a judge and a witness at the same time, can you?
Yeah, but you...
Besides, there's more to it than that.
What are you driving at, Abe?
Well, my client insists that he's not guilty.
Well, you wouldn't expect him to admit it now, would you?
Yes, if he were guilty, I would, especially since I found a way he could plead guilty and still save his neck at the same time.
What's that?
Self-defense. Old Cy was born mad at him. Mad enough to kill him. But the boy refuses to take that defense, which proves to me that he's a young man of his word. I have to respect that word.
Abe, if Franklin Jones didn't kill Cy Darrow, who in thunder did?
Well, we'll have to sit down, the three of us, and reason together. If Franklin didn't kill Cy, who did? We know somebody did, because Cy's dead.
I'd like you to come straight and tell me exactly what you're driving at, Abe.
Well, it couldn't be suicide. After all, how would Cy get a hold of Frank's pistol?
Well, what motive would Cy have for doing away with himself?
None. But you can't be too careful in these things. You have to explore every possibility.
Yeah, but you also have to be headed someplace.
Don't be impatient, Ephraim. I am. So if it wasn't Frank, who else could it be? Who else knew Frank was in town? Who else knew Frank was mad enough to go to Cy's place with a pistol? Who else did he even know that Frank had a pistol? The answer? Neither one of you two.
Well, hold on there, Abe. Are you saying that Eve here, or me, could have killed Cy Darrow? Huh? Well, Abe, I am your best friend in town. How could you even think...
Abe, I thought you was always a man of good sense. But this is monstrous.
Have either of you gentlemen been up to see Cy lately?
Well? I ain't been up to Cy Darrow's place since I bought a pony from him in, 33... No, he was 34. Well, yeah, it's been 3 years.
Ephraim?
It's been at least a year since I had occasion to visit Cy's farm.
Where'd you transact your business?
Whatever business we would transact, we would do at the bank.
Gentlemen, one of you two is lying.
Hey, now look here.
You want to be careful now, Abe. Friendship only excuses just so much.
Let me borrow that chair. Now, I'm going to put my foot up on the seat of it.
What for?
Oh, come on, let's humor him. He's mad.
You'll notice that the lower part of my trouser leg is covered with very tiny little sticky burrs.
Yeah, so?
So these are typical of a growth that occurs only in northern Florida or southern Georgia. You can't find them anywhere else in the country except at Cy Darrow's farm.
Well, now, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
They grew from seeds sold to Darrow by mistake, by Franklin Jones.
I still don't see what you're driving at.
I was up there just before. That's how they got all over my pants leg. Now, we'll, each of you gentlemen, please place his foot up on the chair.
I'll be hanged if I do.
Is that a prophecy, Ephraim?
Eve, them little burrs, them sticky little burrs. You got them on your... Ephraim, if you wasn't up at the Darrow place, how'd them little burrs get all over your pants?
Pour me a drink, Tom.
Eve, you was always an honest man.
Yeah. For 50 years, I've been honest as the day is long. And where did it get me? I didn't speculate. I didn't hedge. I guarded my customers' money. And I got wiped out. I had to borrow from Cy Darrow. And he was going to take away my bank. Well, this boy came marching in here and...
And you decided to steal his pistol? and kill Darrow yourself.
Well, it wasn't that clear cut, you know. It just worked out. And I found my notes and destroyed them. Yours too, Tom.
Ephraim, man like you, could you really let that boy hang for you? Could you?
Abe, I'd like to think that in the end, I wouldn't let that boy hang for me. I'd like to think that.
Would your conscience let you?
Conscience? Abe, when you face the rope, you know the saying, conscience does make cowards of us all.
Cervantes?
No, Shakespeare.
You're a good lawyer, Abe. Would you defend me?
Ephraim, you mean you want me? Why, you could have anyone, even Stephen Douglas.
I want you, Abe. Nobody but you.
Thank you, Ephraim. I'm grateful. I'm humbly grateful.
Well, the case went to trial with a new judge and a new defendant. And the young lawyer, Abe Lincoln, argued ably and well. And the result was a hung jury. But as Abe Lincoln said afterwards, better a hung jury than a hung client. Well, you hang around. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal, and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Franklin and Emily Jones, Tom Fellman, Ephraim Barnes, they are all obscure footnotes in the book of Abraham Lincoln's life. And yet, these are some of the nameless, unknown people who helped shape his character. All around us are young men and women whom we, in our anonymous fashion, are also molding by our precept and by our example. And we are molding them into what? Think about it. Our cast included Keir DeLay, Jennifer Harmon, Paul Hecht, Joe Silver, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I can't seem to get up from the chair. What's happened to me?
I've drugged you, that's what's happened.
Drugged me?
To make killing you, murdering you, easier.
Murder?
You stupid, ugly little fool. You really believed me when I said I found you not unattractive. That I'd be delighted to escort you to the carnival.
What? Arno, what are you saying?
I'm saying that I'm going to do the same with you that I did with Margarita. Wall you up in the catacombs below.
You killed her? Then walled her up?
Oh, no. Oh, she was alive when I did it. At least she was when I put the last stone in place. But she didn't last long after that, I'm sure. It couldn't have been more than an hour or so before she suffocated to death.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
33 degrees in the city. At midnight, this is KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. South Vietnamese refugees pour out of the Central Highlands, while in Cambodia, insurgents are calling for the people of Phnom Penh to overthrow the government. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Lines of refugees 60 miles long are reported on the few escape routes from the Central Highlands areas being abandoned by the South Vietnamese Army. An estimated 250,000 people have left the areas threatened by the latest two-week communist attack. They're reported packed aboard anything with wheels and walking with their hastily gathered possessions tied to their backs. In Saigon, a government spokesman Wednesday denied the report the government had worked out a deal with the communists, giving them the three Highlands provinces in return for safe passage of refugees. There's been at least one report that communist gunners shelled the refugees. President Ford was reported Tuesday night to be viewing the Vietnamese situation with considerable concern. White House News Secretary Ron Nesson said government forces are falling back to conserve fuel and ammunition, apprehensive that Congress will not approve further military aid. A Pentagon spokesman says the recently discovered $21.5 million in unexpended military aid to Cambodia left over from last year should keep government forces going at least a couple of weeks longer. From Phnom Penh, Mike Snatowski reports the Khmer Rouge is asking the people to do politically what it, the Khmer Rouge, has been unable to do militarily.
The clandestine rebel radio station in Cambodia has urged the people of Phnom Penh to rise up and overthrow the Lon Nol government. The broadcast, originating from a secret transmitter deep inside communist territory, called on workers, laborers, teachers, lecturers, and schoolchildren to intensify internal resistance against the government. The radio report referred to recent outbreaks of trouble in Phnom Penh in three government provincial capitals and said this was only the beginning. The announcer specifically urged Khmer Rouge sympathizers to increase the number of strikes and demonstrations and urged raids on rice and gasoline storage depots. Mike Stasowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
The House has sent a clear message to President Ford. Don't try vetoing strip mining legislation a second time. To bolster the number of backers in case a veto overriding vote becomes necessary, all amendments were rejected as the House passed the bill 333-86. CBS News correspondent John Meyer gives some details of the legislation.
Among other things, the bill establishes a state-federal program to regulate strip coal mining in what is termed an environmentally acceptable fashion. A reclamation program would repair past damage from both surface and underground mining in all regions of the country. Owners of land with strip mining potential would have clear right of refusal and would be generously compensated if they give their consent to mine the land. Also, the bill would set up a program for designating some areas unsuitable for stripping. Nearly identical legislation was approved by the Senate last week, and the measure now goes to a joint House-Senate committee to iron out differences in the two versions before final congressional passage and a possible presidential veto. John Meyer, CBS News, on Capitol Hill.
And CBS News continues after this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
It's been revealed the CIA spent $350 million on a secret contract with Howard Hughes to build an experimental vessel used to raise a Russian submarine that sank in 1968. The attempt last summer brought up one-third of the vessel from the Pacific Ocean bottom 3 miles down, but not the nuclear missiles aboard it. The Chilean Navy reports hearing a weak urgent distress signal from a Soviet ship believed in Antarctic waters. The signal stopped. There's no word on whether the ship sank. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
The Oregon House has given the final approval to a basic school support package that increases state support of local schools to 30% of operating costs. House members were warned, however, the increase will have to be paid for with increased revenues or budget cuts elsewhere. The measure goes to Governor Bob Straub for signing and appropriates $36 million more than Straub had recommended. The governor had proposed the state continue at the 27% level. House Minority Leader Roger Martin of Lake Oswego raised the revenue question during floor debate on the measure. The House has approved overwhelmingly legislation asking voters to approve a constitutional amendment that would allow lotteries for charitable or nonprofit purpose. The measure now goes to the Senate. If approved there, it would be before voters at the November 1976 general election. Supporters of the legislation argued Oregon's constitution needs to be changed so that law enforcement agencies can extricate themselves from the difficult and embarrassing position of having to raid church bingo games and peaceful gatherings of senior citizens playing bingo. Enabling legislation that would have written into law how the lottery system would work if the amendment is approved was returned to committee. Critics of that legislation said loopholes might allow professional entrepreneurs to conduct lotteries for charitable organizations and thus make a profit themselves. Legislation that would designate the entire Owyhee River to the Owyhee Reservoir as a scenic waterway was approved by the House Environment and Energy Committee. The legislation now goes to the floor of the House for a vote. The vote was 4-3. Presently, about 45 miles of the main stem of the Owyhee already is designated as a scenic waterway. The legislation would add the entire stream above Owyhee Reservoir to the scenic waterway designation. About 25 miles of the river's South Fork also was designated as a scenic waterway. Legislation restricting use of off-road vehicles on state land in Oregon has been supported by legislators who say a statewide policy is needed to protect the environment from damage by off-road vehicles. Governor Bob Straub's assistant for natural resources, Janet McLennan, said the governor also supports the off-road vehicle legislation. The legislation would license all off-road vehicles, allow their use only in permitted areas on public lands, and establish a hearings process for determining what areas of public land should be opened to off-road vehicles. Similar legislation was narrowly approved in the House during the 1973 legislative session, but the measure died in the Senate Transportation Committee. Turning to sports, John Johnson scored 13 points in the third quarter tonight to propel the Portland Trail Blazers past the Milwaukee Bucks 95-89. Johnson held to 3 points in the first half, came off the bench with 5 minutes remaining in the third quarter, and hit 6 consecutive shots as the Trail Blazers went from a 4-point halftime deficit to an 8-point lead after 3 periods. Lloyd Neal scored 8 points and grabbed 6 rebounds in the final period to keep the Blazers in front. They recorded a record 7th consecutive victory at home. Weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area: showers with partial clearing periods through Thursday, a little snow possible mixed with the rain showers this afternoon. Cooler temperatures with the lows in the low 40s tonight and in the mid-30s tomorrow night. Daytime highs near 50 with winds out of the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour, but gusty at times in the showers. That's the news to 1209 from KOIN, AM and FM in Portland.